How are you?
Good morning, Tony. How you doing? Just stuck in traffic here at these icy roads. So it's perfect. I'm just stuck along.
Welcome to my world, Zane. I hear you. Tell me, how many members are in the Michigan Building and Construction Trades Union?
Well, roughly, we have 125,000 active members and retirees, roughly 15,000 apprentices at any given time currently right now. That's about what we have, Tony.
Recently, you hosted a luncheon, and the governor spoke, and I wanted you to talk about that experience. What do you have to say?
Yes, sir. We had our legislative conference, our 52nd annual, and the governor came in, Randy Richardville came in, all the speakers, or I should say the minority speaker in the Senate and House. But the governor had, he spoke very, he let us know that this wasn't Wisconsin's, what he stressed, that he was going to try to fix the budget together with businesses and unions at the table. And we were very pleased to hear that. He let us know that he's not interested in this being a right-to-work state. You know, he's not against prevailing wage, you know, which is our huge issues. And, you know, he's not against these project labor agreements. So that's what he really came to tell us, that he's not out here to bust the unions in the state of Michigan. He's here to work together with them.
What do you think when you see what's going on in Madison, Wisconsin, and Indiana, and Illinois, and soon to be Ohio?
I'm very troubled by it, Tony, to be honest with you. You know, one thing is sitting down and asking for, you know, sacrifice on behalf of everybody. And the unions, you know, we don't have an issue with that. We will sit down with anyone. But to have it mandated and not, you know, and then take away collective bargaining rights of everybody, that's just wrong on every level. That's what everybody's fought for the years, is to bring the middle class to a place where we can raise a family, Tony, and have insurance for our family and put our kids to school, you know, and a day's work for a day's pay. We're not on no substance from nobody, Tony. Nobody pays us anything out of any taxes. It's all work every day in the field. And that's all we ask. This Wisconsin is very, very, very troubling to do that. And that's why, you know, the governor stressed that this is not how he's going to go about that, Tony.
I was interested to get your take on a question that I asked the president of the AFL-CIO, Mr. Gaffney, and that was, have we reached a time where unions are no longer necessary, because there seems to be so many people, so many states that are trying to break up these unions, and you try to understand what else could be the motive beyond trying to break up the union, because from what we've learned via news sources, that in many challenges in Wisconsin, the union said, hey, we'll sit down and talk with you, just don't take away collective bargaining. What's your take on that?
Tony, actually, that's a very, very good question. I don't know how President Gaffney answered that, but I'm sure his law. I think this is the time for more unions. This clearly shows why you need unions. When this is a payback from the Republicans over the years. Now, we have some very, very good Republicans on both sides of the aisle, or here in Michigan, that are going to help us. But there's also all these freshmen that are coming in. They're very uneducated with this. And it's the freshmen that are introducing all these bills. The deals with unions are more, we need them more than ever. This shows you why. It's just a big payback, Tony. I don't understand it. And the big argument always is, well, the unions run the Democratic Party, the unions do this, the unions pay for all this, all the money. We don't put a tenth of the money in that corporations put in to the Republican Party. But they're always talking about any PAC money that has to be a dues checkoff, Tony. Any dime a union member puts in, they have to check off and have that separated. That's the difference. The corporations, they can take any of the money, any public money or any money, and just put it in. That's what's wrong. And then they want to badmouth us? That's wrong, Tony.
Zane, do you ever wonder about, in these tough economic times, why your members should be forced to be union members, should be forced to deduct some of their pay when they could use that at home?
Well, Tony, see, that's a myth. That is such a myth. That's another great question. They're not forced to be union members. It's no different if you were forced to be a disc jockey or go there. You hire in at a job. You choose to go where there's a collective bargaining table, and in that, the unions have fought to have that, to get that. So when you take that job, you're not forced to join the union. People need to know that. It's called a back objector. If you join a union and you don't want to put toward any PAC dollars or anything, you can sign off on the back objective. And that means you have not one penny of your dues money going toward anything else but administrative costs. You're not forced to join a union any more than you're forced to do any other job. That is such a myth out there. I don't know. It still boggles my mind that people say that.
Well, it is a fact that some unions and some large unions do fund political issues, do fund politicians.
Yes, yes, Tony, but it's a dues checkoff, a voluntary dues checkoff by the members. I came from the Ironworkers Union, so I can tell you, Tony, how ours work. Probably 50 to 60% of our membership participates in it, not 100%. So the people who opt out don't pay in. The people who pay in, that's what we use for all political money in, and we give to both sides of the aisle.
All right, Zane, before I let you go, as we try to talk to both sides of issues, and I've talked to many union folks, many union officials in the last several months, and I always ask them, do they think they have a PR problem? Because the general public really is in the majority in thinking that union people who work for unions make more than folks do in the private sector, and they get better pensions and they get better benefits, and they're sloughing off and not working. There's 10 guys standing around while one guy works. There's that perception out there, and I never see enough of the union trying to make efforts to change that if the perception is just a perception.
Yes, Tony, it's perception, and that is another myth, but yes, that is a true. That's how people perceive it. Those times have changed back in, you know, everybody thinks back in the 70s when the pots were filled, back in the 80s when everybody had some money. It's so much different. Everybody's leaner, meaner, trimmer. There is no excess out there to cut anymore. Corporations have trimmed down everywhere. There's not guys standing around. They're fighting hard every day for that. PR, yes. Now, here's the problem with that, Tony, and it costs money to do all this. You know, and everybody's talking about money for politicians. Yes, we do need to work with that, and we are working on our image, and that is a big issue with the Michigan Building Construction Trade Council, is to be a value every day. A prime example, Tony, the Michigan Building Construction Trades members, we build the nuclear powerhouses, we build the car plants, you know, we build the chemical plants, you know, we do the airports, the coal plants. And then also, we build your schools, your universities, your malls, your churches, your restaurants. Now, that's value on display every day, Tony. We can do it all. That's what we do every single day, put our life on the line for a paycheck.
Zane Walker is the president of the Michigan Building and Construction Trades Council. Zane, I'm going to get you here in studio and have some coffee so we can talk long term. Lots of stuff to talk about. Appreciate your time.
Yes, sir, Tony, and let's get the other side there to sit with us. Let's have a nice, big, friendly debate right there together.
I'm going to hold you to that now.
Sounds good.